I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Way Up North podcast. My name is Erin Bishop. I am the event planner for Way Up North and also the host for this season's podcast series. Today we're going to be chatting with Sarah and Hugh Forte and talking a bit about life with kids, life working with the person that you love and live with, and amongst other things. So let's just jump right in and I'll say welcome to Hugh and Sarah. Thank you so much for being with us. Tell us a little bit about you two, like what you do. I only know a little bit, like Sarah shoots food or makes food or is into food. Hugh shoots all kinds of things. So tell us, for those who aren't familiar with you, kind of what you guys do and what you're all about.
You want to start?
Go for it.
Okay. Oh man, we were just talking about this morning. It's a little bit hard to describe what our work is at this point. We started a food blog like 8 years ago. Hugh had a wedding photography business going at that time. I was working a normal job. Whatever that means.
Normal job.
And yeah. And we ended up just starting Sprouted Kitchen, which is a food blog, sort of healthy-ish focused at that time. And Hugh was taking the pictures and I like to write and I like to cook. And so I just figured that that was a good place as like a creative outlet and to get some community going over what my hobby was. So we just started that kind of for fun. And I think it was just the right place at the right time. And it was sort of the beginning or the right time for the food blog boom. So we have, is this too long of a story?
No, not at all.
We Sprouted Kitchen, kind of, it was just like social media stuff had kind of began at that time too. So we just got a number of opportunities just for both the sponsored content there and then ended up getting a book deal a few years into the process, just with 10 Speed Press, who's under Crown Publishing and Random House. So we started writing a cookbook. At that time, Hugh was still doing weddings. I was working at a restaurant. And then we just do like a lot of random stuff then has kind of spun from Sprouted Kitchen. I do a lot of recipe development. We do product shoots for food companies. We are now working on a third cookbook. Hugh still shoots weddings.
Still annoying.
I don't know. It's a lot. It's a big mush pot of jobs.
You guys popped out a couple kids in there somewhere along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our parents. Yeah, I don't know if that sums it up.
So do you two work together mostly, like in your average everyday life, or is Hugh off over here and Sarah's off over here? What does that look like?
Majority of the days are probably spent us like trying to wrangle our own tasks and meeting in the middle somewhere with trying to wrangle two children. Mm-hmm. And then once or twice a week, kind of depending on what we have scheduled for that week on the more collaborative side of things, whether it's Sprouted Kitchen or an Instagram like affiliated campaign of weird social content, us trying to come up with something for somebody kind of
don't
thing.
Don't call it weird.
Yeah, I guess we're maybe downplaying that a little bit, but I feel like the collaborative efforts are a little bit more targeted throughout the week. We'll have one or two of those. But yeah, just like kind of the state of life is all over the place for a lot of people our age, what it seems, and even more so for folks more in our circumstances where you're kind of juggling a number of different things. So,
So Hugh, you're still shooting weddings now, or is that sort of fallen away?
Yeah, I am definitely still shooting weddings despite what my Instagram and blog, neglect seem to communicate. That's still pretty much my primary focus. So it's been, I guess, 9 years now of that. And yeah, it's, I finally feel comfortable shooting weddings after years of stressing every night before.
You still stress every night
before. Still stress, but not like I did for the first 9 years of this. Still shooting weddings. And I didn't intend to become a wedding photographer. When I became a wedding photographer, I kind of fell into it, which is, seems to be a pretty common origin story for a lot of wedding photographers, at least that I know. In the early years, I thought, yeah, this is great for right now, a year or two, or then it was, you know, another year or two or something like that. And then all of a sudden, I think it was around like year five or six, I was like, oh, it hasn't been like a year or two. It's been 5 or 6 years now. And I still feel like I'm kind of figuring things out. I'm still excited about it. So at that time, I never would have thought that approaching 10 years of this, I'd still be doing it. It's wild to look at and be like, oh, I still feel like I've got another year or two in me. So still shooting weddings and amongst all the other things we've got going on.
Nice. And so when you say you sort of fell into it, what were you doing before weddings?
I was living at the beach and getting to most of my college classes. So I started shooting weddings while I was still in college. Just I had a friend of mine who was a couple years ahead who was a wedding photographer at that time. He kind of did the same thing, fell into it a couple years before I did. And I picked up a camera while abroad and just kind of took an interest in photography through sort of accidental circumstances. So I had a friend who was shooting weddings, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I can make $100 second shooting. So I would shoot with him. I shot with a couple of people, kind of got a little bit of experience that way. And again, as a college student, I booked my first wedding while I was still in college. And all of a sudden it was like, whoa, somebody's going to pay me to take pictures. This is great. So that was kind of my really romantic origin story with that. And so then when I graduated from college, I didn't get the internship downtown like everybody else in my graduating class did. I kind of had a camera and had a tiny little bit of a client basis going and had the freedom to give it a shot. So I did that and I haven't really looked back.
What were you taking in college at the time?
I studied advertising and got a minor in psychology. So people scoff at that, like, that's an interesting combination, which I've justified that it totally makes sense, but it
totally
mostly made
sense.
It mostly made sense at that point because it was the path of least resistance. Like, that's where most of my credits were. Like, I don't have to take any math classes. I've already got some of these prerequisites done. Like, let's go with this. So yeah.
I like it. Okay. And so Sarah sort of said that you still get stressed on the night before a wedding. What do you find stressful about it still after all this time?
I think that it is sort of the unrealistic expectation that, whether it's knowingly or not, I put on myself to, like, for this wedding that I'm going to shoot tomorrow at whatever the event location is, like, this is going to be my best wedding ever. Like, I have to make new images. I have to make something I haven't done before. It has to be like as good, if not better, than what I've done before. So it's easy to kind of, I don't know, it's easy to say that in like retrospect right now, looking back at my last wedding, like it didn't really have to feel like that, but there's something about going into it where there's just part of my psyche that like won't let me let that go. So I think it's like it's an expectation I have for myself. And I assume my clients have for me as well, that I want to do the best job I can. And with the way weddings are, how dynamic and how many people, are involved in it and how many people are not going to pay attention to the timeline I'm paying attention to and that sort of thing. There's so much you can't control that to have an expectation that this is going to be the best I've ever done. There's a severe dissonance there, which I think is where the stress comes from, but I do know how to manage it better than I did in the early years. All that to say.
Yeah. The experience helps definitely when you start to know what's going to happen, what always happens. Okay. Who would you say between the two of you is busier?
Sarah.
It's like the shoe game at a wedding where asked.
Yeah, totally.
Busier work-wise or just like in our life?
Just in general. And is that because you're having to have the kids when he's off shooting a wedding for like 12 hours as well as doing your job, or what makes you the most busy?
I think it's a number of things. Primarily, I think it's our personality types. I like having things to do all the time, where Hugh is generally a lot more cruisy. Like, he isn't really like, I don't know, he doesn't like pursue like things to keep him busy. Not in a bad way. This isn't coming out right.
Let's call you lazy.
Yeah. It's just, I think as a female, we generally like have more social things of seeing girlfriends, especially as a mom. I have mom friends who are doing mommy things in the day, so I want to see them. I also, part of my resume would also, I've been told by this advertising company that I'm working with that I need to just resign to calling myself an influencer, that we have a pretty decent Instagram following, and that I do in my mind think about like needing to get content up in there. So I'm thinking about like, okay, what can I make, or what can be meaningful in a story or something like that. Like, that's on my mind. What am I doing as a blog post? I get a lot of emails that are Sprouted Kitchen related to sift through. I'm just like listing you the things I want to do in the day. Like, I want to exercise. I need to grocery shop. What are we doing to the house? Like, that's just, my mind is constantly like a hamster wheel. So it's natural and it's self-inflicted.
Do you guys find that you're able to put work aside and just have like love and family time, or is it always work talk around the house?
I think it's both, but it's hard that it, like, the fact that we do everything in one space, we're at a kind of a funny place because our kids are 1.5 and 3, and everything happening in one space is tough. Because Hugh has a little office in the garage, I'm usually in the kitchen, whether it's cooking or I just leave my laptop on the kitchen table and that's where I sit. We have a little bit of help with the kids, but not as much as we need. And everything happening in one space is just
a bit blurry.
Yeah, it's blurry. So I think there's definitely family and fun time, but it is, the lines are not hard and clear. So I know that exists, and Hugh and I will like make eye contact, or he'll be like, I love our life. Or the fact that like we can be like, hey, it's 3 o'clock and it's super sunny, like let's go to the beach. And the fact that like on occasion we can do that, like we don't take that for granted, that that is our life. But there are also days when we are like, I hate this. How do we get the children out of here? And like, oh my gosh, are we making money next month? Like, there's stress to our life, but there are some really good parts to it too.
Of course, yeah. How do you feel like, and either of you can answer this, or both of you, your work life has changed since having kids?
Oh, man. Everything has changed since those guys came along. Yeah, I think that, well, I was talking to a buddy last night. This may be tangential, but I'm just going to go with it. Talking to a buddy last night, we, a couple buddies met up for drinks, and he walked in and you could just tell he was like just frazzled, and they don't have kids yet. But he just has been really busy with work, and he walked in and he was just like, kind of, you could see him like needing to decompress. And he's like, yeah, I just like, we don't even have kids yet. Like, I can't imagine what it's like. And I kind of told him like, it will, like when you have kids, like your life will get crazier and things become harder and it's more stressful. And like, these are all just the bad things. Like, obviously there's like, it is far outweighed by all the good things, but I'm trying to like empathize with him last night. I'm like, it will get crazier at that time, but that doesn't like mitigate the fact that right now without kids, like you're super busy and stressed out and like burnt out, and that happens. So kids come along and it's just like the scale of life increases, both like the good and the bad. Things get harder and things get better and more joyful. So as far as like how that pertains specifically to work, yeah, it's sort of has necessitated us to just try to work a little bit more efficiently. When we do get that time to kind of focus and work on something, we do it as focused and as well as we can in that short amount of time. 'Cause we know we can't just like, oh, we'll come back to this afternoon. I don't feel inspired right now, or I don't want to shoot this right now, or whatever it is. It's a matter of like, kind of do it right now because like we can. So,
and And I think your own value, I don't know if you say value increases, but like, I feel like I started at a point of just saying yes to everything. Like, oh, whatever. Like if it's a couple hundred dollars, it's better than nothing. But like now I'm like, no, my time is like worth X. And like, if it's not going to be like worth my time, then I won't do it. So I also feel like I've almost value my work more because I'm comparing it to like, it's going to take me away from like my kids and other like family responsibilities that I have, that the work needs to be worth it instead of just like better than nothing. It needs to be valuable.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, there's more at stake. I'm being taken away from another job that I have as far as like raising kids. So I think it's changed that, and I'm pickier about what I'm doing now.
Yeah, because everything has to stack up against what you'd probably rather be doing, which is hanging out with kids.
Yes. That's unfair. We sound like the crappiest parents.
No, not at all. I'm just asking about that because I know in this sort of field, a lot of people are in their 20s, 30s, early 40s, and I know a lot of my friends, like as a wedding planner, who are thinking about having kids, and they're like, I just don't even know what that's going to mean, and can I even do it? But you made an interesting statement when you said it's just sort of like your world just sort of expands in both ways. Like you just fit more in and you have more joy and love, but you also have more stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it works out.
Yeah, just manage. Okay, so I'll stay on the kids thing just for a minute and ask you guys what has been a moment where you just have felt like you have no idea what the fuck you're doing as parents?
Like
every day?
Yeah, how many times a day should we like pinpoint this?
I feel like we could blame this on Corinne. We have a son. Corinne's our older. He's 3 and Cleo is 1.5. Corinne is smart. How else do you describe him? He's just, I don't want to say strange because that sounds bad, but he's like
super weird though.
He's weird. But in a good way. Like he's super interesting. Like I love talking to him because I love hearing like inside his mind. But with that like smartness and strangeness comes like some behavioral challenges that we have with him where I think Hugh and I don't know how to like control him, but I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, do you want to take this away? I just feel like that is where I feel at a loss is, I thought it would be like, oh, like don't hit or don't throw your food on the floor. Like I felt like being a parent would be like those kind of easy decisions. Is like, I'm teaching you right from wrong because like obviously you don't hit and obviously you like don't destroy things. But like now I'm realizing as he's getting older, like it's just trickier. Like there's emotional and behavior stuff that I feel like it's not as easy. It's not as black and white. And now I feel like I don't know how to do that part.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a lot of friends who are parents. And if it's any consolation, I feel like all of you parents feel like you have no idea what you're doing. So at the very least, you're not alone and you're probably doing fine. Okay. So there are those people in the world who, you know, wake up and like have coffee and breakfast and like kiss each other and like go off to their respective offices and then like come back and see each other at, you know, 5:30. And obviously you're not those people. Most of us listening to this are not those people. What is the best part of being able to share your job with the person that you love?
I think that the flip side of that coin that I was just speaking of is that like our understanding of each other is like hyper accelerated because we spend so much time together. Like I've told Sarah this before and she thinks like, she even looks at me weird. So I'm sure everybody's going to like, what is this guy talking about when they hear this? But like, sometimes I forget that we're not the same person, if that makes sense to anybody, which like, I know we're not the same person, but like,
I don't have this problem.
That sounds like weird and codependent when I say that. But I think that there's just like, again, because we spend so much time, our understanding feels like very in tune and accelerated. And that doesn't mean like we're always doing things right and communicating with each other exactly the right way and that sort of thing. But I'm more aware of I can be when I pay attention to it, so much more aware of Sarah and her thoughts and her reactions to me and what my role is, just because we've been married for almost 7 years now, but compared to, like you're saying, the person who's out of the house 9 hours a day or something away from their spouse, we've got 7 years of all those extra 9 hour days of,
not all of them,
you know what I mean, but for the good and bad. But the good is, yeah, feels like
it's accelerated growth. I remember like getting together with, have this group of girlfriends that all their husbands kind of were or slash are photographers, and talking, and them like recognizing, and it felt affirming to hear this, that like, there's probably like more fighting like between us, but there's also, because we're together more, there's also like a closer communication because we have more practice with that. So we have to share work. So there's like always conflict in people's work. So therefore we've had to learn how to problem solve together. And therefore doing that in a work environment also overflows into our personal life sometimes, so that like, I think we become better communicators because we're forced to like have to figure things out, because like we only really have each other. So we need to find a way through. So that can be, I feel like we're straying so far from your question, but like,
no, not
that
at has all. To you happen. Guys are a team. Good.
That has to happen in work. And like, that also has to happen in our personal life. So I think there's these moments of growth that are happening more often because we're overlapping so much. So it's crappy because we fight a lot, but it's also people, friends of ours who do have like 9-to-5s or stay-at-home moms, and they're apart from their spouse more, watch us and are like, you guys seem so like in sync. And I think sometimes that comes from, we have to be in order to coexist in the same space all day.
That makes answer. Perfect sense.
Okay.
Okay. So in the young creatives of the world, just in parting, what wisdom would you offer? You know, at Way Up North, we have photographers of all different types of experience who are mainly wedding photography related, but not in all cases. So do you have any parting wisdom for those people who are, you know, seeking inspiration or direction, or just any sort of advice on their future path into photography? Very general question, I realize, but you can throw us anything that comes to mind.
The first thing that comes to mind, I worked at a farm in Italy right after college as like an internship sort of deal. And the woman who was kind of in charge, I remember this, I don't remember the whole context of the conversation, but I remember her talking about like her cousin in business and blah, blah, blah. And like all these people who had like been shady, and people who make a ton of money or lose a ton of money based on like trying to run shady businesses. And she was like, I'll promise you, like, this is the one thing that I know is true, that if you are like honest and doing like good work that you believe in, and like you consistently do that, that like good things come to you, that like you will be successful because people see through like the shadiness or the dishonesty or the bullshit that you're trying to sell, that like if you are just like you and consistent, then that will attract good things. This is like kind of sounding like The Secret now that I'm packaging it up into words, but it's, I just felt like from the beginning, like I'm gonna cook this way that I cook at home. I'm gonna share it with people. I'm gonna write as vulnerably as I can. I'm gonna, like, whether that's on social media or the blog or in books, like I'm gonna be as effusive as I am in my regular life. And then like, I hope that attracts the right people and therefore success. And I think I've always thought that since the beginning, is it's like, there's trends and there's things that like you start to feel pressure from what you see, like of how to do it right, quote unquote. But I think if you just stick to like what you feel like is good and true for you, and you are consistent with that, people can see and smell authenticity. I can, at least, that I feel like you just have to stick to like what is you and good, and not, I don't know, try to complicate it.
So I'm going to try not to ramble on this, because this is essentially like what our presentation is about. So okay. Hopefully to have some value when we're up on stage. I'm not going to give away everything we've been working on. But I think kind of just to, again, piggyback off of Sarah's answer, and this going back to the early years of my wedding photography business, I remember so much of my drive then, like my focus and my goal was just to make cool pictures, like not even necessarily for my clients, which I mean, I think there's a detraction right there, but that's for another time and place and conversation. But yeah, I think that was what I wanted to do. I just want to make really cool pictures, make them interesting to myself. So I think that it's so easy now, especially with how complicated things can be. It's so easy to get distracted by the Instagram algorithm and a social media strategy that will springboard you onto the next level and that sort of thing. And there's so many different things you can do when it comes to photography. Like Sarah's saying, like if you're doing good work, if you're making images you're proud of, they're going to resonate, whether it's with a broad audience or not. They will resonate, and you will find fulfillment in making work that you're proud of. So strip things down. Like, don't worry about all of the excess stuff until you're proud of the work you're making, or feel like you're going in the direction to be proud of the work you're making. So yeah, do good work.
Do good work. Be yourself. Sarah and Hugh, thank you so much. Okay, thank you so much, you guys. Enjoy the rest of your, Tuesday.
And thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to chat, and we can't wait to see you in Sweden.
Yes. Of course. Excited. All right, thank you.
Yeah, okay, bye, guys. Hello, my name is Erin Bishop. I am a wedding planner from Vancouver, Canada, and the event planner for Way Up North. And this season, I have the privilege of interviewing our speakers for the Way Up North podcast. And today, we're going to be speaking to Sarah and Hugh Forte, who have a lot going on beyond the fact that Hugh, you know, shoots weddings. They also run a very successful food blog together, have created Two Small Humans together, a lot on the go, and we're just going to hear a bit about, you know, what it's like for them to live together, be a family, work together, and sort of how they approach managing life. So let's have at her. Hello, and welcome to the Way Up North podcast. My name is Erin Bishop. I'm a wedding planner and the event planner for Way Up North. Today, we're going to be chatting with Hugh and Sarah Forte, who, beyond Hugh, you know, being a wedding photographer, they also run a successful food blog and have their hands in a lot of pots, including being parents. So we're going to hear from them a little bit about, you know, managing life and working together and being a family and all that comes along with it. So thanks for being with us, and let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.